Ready to level up? Chumba Casino is your playbook to fun. It's free to play with no purchase necessary. Enjoy hundreds of online social games like blackjack, slots, and solitaire anytime, anywhere with fresh releases every week. Whether you're at home or on the go, let Chumba Casino bring the excitement to you. Plus, get free daily login bonuses and a free welcome bonus. Join now for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Play Chumba Casino today. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. T&Cs apply.
The Second World War is the largest event in human history.
A 20-part series with Tom Hanks.
No part of the globe was untouched. No life unchanged.
Experience the ultimate account of World War II.
Every single person had a story. These are the stories that make us who we are.
Listen to World War II with Tom Hanks on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome to the Bart Winkler Show podcast.
It is the Bart Winkler Show, and it is hour number four of a four-hour program, which comes to you weeknights on the Infinity Sports Network. 10 p.m. Eastern, 7 p.m. Pacific, all the way to 11 p.m. Pacific. That's 2 a.m. Eastern. We did not have a game from the Thursday slate of March Madness go into Friday, at least not Central Time Zone. Eastern Time Zone we did, as one just wrapped up between Texas Tech and UNC Wilmington. So a quick rundown. Where were the upsets? Number one seeded Houston, number one seeded Auburn. Advance. Number two seeded Tennessee over Wofford. St. John's, I wouldn't call it a scare from Omaha. They clearly gave a lot of their energy right away, and then St. John's beat them by 30, so the two seeds advance. The three seeds, Texas Tech, a little more of a scare. They win by 10, though. Wisconsin wins by 19. Four seeds, Purdue, advance. Texas A&M, advance. A five seed went down. One always does. This year it was Clemson, at least the first of a possible three, as another five seed. Tight game. UC San Diego took a lead late. Missed a tying three-pointer at the end. Michigan wins by three. McNeese beats Clemson by two. McNeese outscored Clemson 31-13 in the first half. Clemson had 54 points in the second half after having just 13 in the first. But McNeese was able to hold on despite a late three-point shooting barrage from Clemson. Six-seeded BYU won. Six-seeded Missouri did not. So Drake had the 11th seed in upset. By the definition of upset, number 10 Arkansas beat number 7 Kansas, their first-round loss since 2006, as John Calipari's team best Bill Self's. UCLA had no problem with Utah State. And then an 8-seed won in Gonzaga and a 9-seed won in Creighton over Louisville. So we had 1-9 advancing, 1-10 advancing, 1-11 advancing, 1-12. And in a year where we think it's going to be very chalky, so far it has been quite chalky. I do want to get to the NFL for a couple minutes here. We can dip back into college before the end of the show. But I do want to dip back into the NFL and look at these conference odds. Because I bring this up because I saw it. You know, I don't want to base my show around odds and, you know, betting. But there is some sort of thing that I'm finding very interesting. In the AFC, well, let me just tell you the AFC. These are the top five teams that are favored to win the AFC. That's all we're doing. Win the AFC. Not division, not conference. Well, yes, conference. Not division, not Super Bowl, but conference. Conference. Get it right, Bart. Number five is the LA Chargers. 12-1 odds. Number four is the Cincinnati Bengals. And we talked about the Bengals this week. I like that they were able to bring both guys back. I believe they're going to get Trey Hendrickson back. And I think the Bengals should be considered a dark horse team. And maybe not even that dark of a horse. I think the Bengals have a very realistic shot. They're 8-1 here. But I like them to possibly win the AFC. What I think is going to happen is the Bills are eventually going to win a Super Bowl with Josh Allen. So I'd probably take the Bills right now as my Super Bowl pick out of the AFC. But my second choice at this point would be Cincinnati. I am in on Cincinnati. And you may not be there yet because there's two other teams that you're going to give the benefit of the doubt to, and that's fine. Those teams are plus 350. That's the Ravens and the Chiefs. I will tell you that odds makers at plus 325 barely have the Bills over those two teams. So the Bills the most likely, the Ravens, the Chiefs, the Bengals, the Chargers. I think that kind of works. You know, the Bengals have been 9-8 the last 2 years. I do think you can look at this year as a, just like, you know, a cavalcade of misery as far as their defense. And you can't think that that will be replicated the year before that. Joe Burrow was hurt. They have gone 9-8 the last 2 years. They've missed the playoffs the last 2 years, but it's not like they're coming out of nowhere. Okay? And then it's just a matter of, do you like the Chargers, Broncos, Texans? You know, who's in there? In the NFC, I find this interesting. The Philadelphia Eagles, to win the conference, the Philadelphia Eagles are 3-1 odds. That's fine. They seem primed for a dynasty, or at least they're going to come into this season with the mentality. They just stopped the three-peat from happening. They're already talking about making one of their own. I got no problem with them being the odds-on favorite to win the NFC. The Lions, I still worry that the Lions kind of plateaued already. Just a gut feel. But they've got nothing like tangible to make me think that. They are very good. They're going to lose their offensive and defensive coordinator. They have done that, but guess who just also did that? Philly. They won a Super Bowl. The Commanders are 8-1. The Packers are 10-1. The Rams 10-1. The Vikings 14-1. Interestingly enough, the Bears are 16-1, tied with the Buccaneers. And there's another team that I skipped over because they're third. Third best odds at plus 750. Third best odds, essentially, it's 7-1 to win the NFC. 7-1. Same amount of odds that even better than the Bengals to win the AFC. But you're giving Philadelphia 3-1. You're giving Detroit 4-1. You're giving the San Francisco 49ers 7-1 odds to win the NFC. Now, One thing that I would say is that Kyle Shanahan has two modes. When the Niners, that's the team I'm talking about, when the Niners have made the playoffs under Kyle Shanahan, they at minimum go to the NFC Championship game. They've lost it twice, they've won it twice. And really, that record, that track record, goes back to 2011. Going back to 2011, either the 49ers do not make the playoffs or they get to at least the NFC Championship game. That's hard to believe, right? Let me make you believe it. 2011, they lost the NFC Championship game to the Giants. 2012, they beat the Falcons, lost in the Super Bowl to the Ravens. 2013, they lost the NFC Championship game to the Seahawks. They did not make the playoffs in 14, 15, 16, 17, or 18. Those last 2 years, Kyle Shanahan, 17 and 18, 6 and 10, 4 and 12. 2019, they go to the Super Bowl. They beat the Packers in the NFC Championship game. Next year, 6 and 10, don't make it. 2021, they go to the NFC Championship game, lose to the Rams. 2022, they go to the NFC Championship game, lose to the Eagles. 2023, they beat the Lions in the championship game and then lose to the Chiefs in the Super Bowl. And then last year, they did not make the playoffs. So since 2011, the Niners are either make the NFC Championship game at a minimum or don't make the playoffs at all. And I will remind you and tell your friends that as the head coach of the San Francisco 49ers, Kyle Shanahan has as many winning seasons as he does losing seasons. He has made the playoffs as many times as he has missed the playoffs. Argue how you want about he took over a team and injuries last year. Argue how you want. I am just stating a fact. Interpret how you must. But the fact that I say is not true. If you find some bias behind that fact, you are right. But that's for you to determine. Four winning seasons, four losing seasons. So I say that because if the Niners are going to make the playoffs, they're probably going to be to the NFC Championship game. And then, you know, if they get that far, they can win the conference. I am not seeing it, though, with the San Francisco 49ers. I saw somebody compare them and what they're doing to what the Rams did a couple of years ago, where the Rams won the Super Bowl and then had to sort of regroup a little bit. And then they had a down year, and that was a weird year too, because people were saying, well, the Niners or the Rams, I've done that twice now. The Rams won the Super Bowl, and now they have to rebuild? Like, what a waste. No. That was the point. They went all in to win the Super Bowl. And now they're trying to figure out how to get back. And the Rams were a drive away from hosting an NFC Championship game. So they at least have seemed like they've regrouped or got out of whatever that hole was. They knew that they were going to go all in, then it would take some pain, and then they would try to come back. Well, right now they're in the try-to-come-back zone. Could the Niners be doing that? The Niners got rid of a lot of salary. Kyle Juszczyk they cut. He did come back. But they traded Deebo Samuel. They got rid of Aaron Banks. He left to go play guard for the Packers. Javon Hargraves now with the Niners. By that, I mean the Vikings. That's three times. Malik Collins with the Browns. Leonard Floyd, Atlanta. Dre Greenlaw, Tennessee. Charvarius Ward, Colts. Hufanga, the Broncos. Some of these guys were free agents scheduled to be. Some of these guys they cut, and they became free agents. And they added, and they traded Jordan Mason to the Vikings under the radar move. They added a second tight end in Luke Farrell. They re-signed Patrick Taylor Jr. They signed Richie Grant, Luke Gifford, linebacker, Kevin Givens re-signed. They got Jason Pinnock from the Giants. DeMarcus Robinson's one of their receivers now. Trey Brown at corner. Mac Jones did come there. Curtis Robinson re-signing. Saran Neal signing a two-year deal. I believe he was with Atlanta. So they've certainly signed some guys. Buffalo. Miami. I believe they certainly signed some guys, but they also lost a lot of guys, and a lot of guys that had some big impact played some big minutes for them. The 49ers in 2025 had the largest deficit in free agent spending in NFL history. Second largest, by the way, the Eagles. $204 million went out, signed elsewhere than what came in. For the Niners, it was $284 million. Previously, the 2024 Dolphins, minus 173. The 2020 Cowboys, minus 166. So you look at the Eagles, and this team, they saw a lot of guys leave too. Nobody's saying they're not going to come back. But for the Niners, I think there's a lot of impact guys. The thoughts are that this can be a short reset rather than a major rebuild. And I don't think that the Niners are toast. I don't think they're done. I still would like to float out my theory again that John Lynch and Kyle Shanahan should trade jobs for 1 year. Partly because Kyle Shanahan basically responsible for Brock Purdy. And that's another part of this. They're kind of clearing the deck because they got to pay Brock Purdy. Here's a fun stat. 3 years of Purdy cost the 49ers $2.6 million. The amount of money the Browns pay per game for Deshaun Watson to sit on the bench is $2.7 million. One bench game of Deshaun costs more than 3 years of Brock Purdy. Since he was drafted in 2022, 64 quarterbacks have thrown at least 200-plus passes. Of those quarterbacks, he ranks 7th in wins. He ranks 4th in playoff games played. He ranks 2nd in passer rating. He ranks 1st in EPA per dropback and 1st in yards per attempt. Now, when he first got on the scene, I thought it was a lot of he's got good players around him, which he did. But you can't be an idiot. Like, I can't just go out there and throw 4,000 yards. You got to be somewhat good. Brock Purdy impressed me in the playoffs a year ago when he was playing bad at quarterback as a thrower, but was able to make up for it on the ground as a runner. He also impressed me a little bit this year when the guys did get hurt and he still had decent games. And it impressed me even more when he was hurt and the team was absolute dog. They were bad. I don't think he deserves $60 million. And Josh Allen did not go from his salary in the 40s to 60. He's around 55. Dak's making 60, and then the other top guys are 55. But he does need to make some more money, and that's going to be a big part of this. So you pay Brock Purdy, you reshuffle the chairs a little bit, and eventually I think the 49ers will win an NFC West championship again here in the next couple of years. Of all the teams that finished last place last year, they're probably the most likely. But there's a lot of bad teams. But even if they win the division, are we getting out of the NFC? So I just find it surprising that they're ahead of, say, the Commanders, that they're ahead of the Packers, that they're ahead of even the Rams, really. Vikings are interesting because we'll see how good J.J. McCarthy is. Those numbers could go very, very low from 14-1. They could increase from 14-1. So that all remains to be seen. But I just thought that was interesting that in the NFC, either the Niners are being overlooked by people like me, or the NFC is so barren that, yeah, the Niners get the benefit of the doubt to be the third best team with the odds to win the NFC conference. New phone number here on the program and on the network, 888-710-4ISN. That's 888-710-4476. JT in Atlanta was able to pick up the phone. What's on your mind tonight, JT?
Hey, what's going on, Bart? I appreciate you taking my call. Hey, I just want to talk a little bit about this whole I want to talk a little bit about this Steeler, you know, Aaron Rodgers. The last caller was calling in, and I'm from a family of Steelers fans, and I hear this a lot about Mike Tomlin, right? And my thing is this, right? Like, I used to work corporate, now I drive trucks, but when I was in the corporate world, it was always a thing about problems and presenting solutions or root cause analysis, right? And I think a lot of that is being overlooked by these Steelers fans. It's like, if you think that the root of your problems is Tomlin, that's one thing, but I think you're off. But if you're going to get rid of Tomlin, what is your solution? You're talking about Vrabel, that's not an option. Like, what are you going to do that's going to get better? Because I think what's going to happen is they're going to F around and find out. They're going to go ahead and get rid of Tomlin, and they're like, oh, well, they're so spoiled, right? They've had three coaches, right? They're one of the most – they've won the most, one of the most teams that won the most Super Bowls in the history. And they're like, okay, we want better, we want this, but it could be worse, right? Like, this is what you don't understand is that you've never experienced it. You could be the Browns. Like, this can't happen to you as a Steelers fan, but I don't think that's fathomable for them. They think that they're always going to be great. And that's not the case. And if you mess around and don't get the right coach after Tomlin, you're going to be the Browns or worse, right? Like, so I'm interested to see, and I kind of hope that it happens sooner than later because I'm tired of hearing how they're mad of they can't take winning seasons anymore. Like, oh my gosh, the earth is such a first world statement. Like, it's like, get out of here. Do you not know what's out there? Like, the landscape can be barren, and you just don't know that.
Yeah, JT, that is interesting. I appreciate the call. There's a little bit of nuance to it, and you've described a lot of it pretty well. Because when there are people that say they want Mike Tomlin to be gone or fired, what they are unhappy with is that it's been years and years of making the playoffs, you know, every other, and having winning records, or at least not having a losing record. And it's always interesting because it just depends on what frame you're looking at that in. Are you looking at from a Steelers fan frame who's like, basically, we know what this is going to be, and we know that this feels like a plateau, that, yeah, the season might be fun, but we're not going to do anything in the playoffs. We're not going to be bad. We'll make the playoffs. We'll have a weekend in January, but we're not going to win because we haven't in a decade. Other teams are looking at you and say, like there are enough fan bases that would say, I would kill for that. And they would, because they're not where you are. The grass is greener. But if you're the Steelers, there's also grass that's greener for you. Even like the Bills, the grass is greener in Buffalo than it is in the Steelers. Nobody's making Super Bowls out of these teams. But the Steelers, I think, would much rather have the success of the Bills. But then at some point, the Bills are going to say, like, well, geez, we're making all these championship games, but you know, the grass has got to be greener somewhere, and there it is in Kansas City. So usually, everybody can find greener grass until these anomalies start to pop up with dynasties. The thing where I would side with what JT is saying, or where I would like agree with him, is yes, the grass might be greener, but is Tomlin the root of the problem? And also, you might be in that range with him where we do want to move on, but we're not ready until we know what we're moving on to. I'm a frog on a lily pad. I need to see another lily pad before I get off this one. I use the analogy of a burning house. Yes, I did just give you one analogy, and now I'm going to give you the other one. The lily pad one, I don't know where that came from. Came off the top of my head. The burning house one I've used before. The Bucks, Jason Kidd, they needed to fire him. It was bad. I thought so, at least. And I said, look, if you'd want to move from a new house, from your house to a new house, you take the proper steps, and you don't sell your house until you know where you're going to live next, or at least have a plan of where you're going to stay before you find that house. But if your house is on fire and it is burning to the ground, you do not sit in there and scroll Zillow to find out where you're going to sleep tomorrow night. You get the hell out of that house. I don't think Mike Tomlin's in a burning house situation. Some Steeler fans might. Doesn't feel like that way, because if you do get out of this house, you may never find a coach as good as that for a while. And if they would have seen one that popped up, like, you know how many different coaches have been available the last 10 years? They haven't felt like they've found that quite yet. Phone number, once again, 888-710-4ISN, 888-710-4-OOPS. No, I did it right. I almost screwed up the second time. 888-710-4476. I'll give it again in a minute. It's the Bart Winkler Show.
Yo, it's Jay Uso from WWE.
And I'm Jimmy Uso.
Chumba Casino and WWE are hyped for the biggest event of the summer.
SummerSlam.
I know, I can't wait. There's nothing better to do while we're waiting
than playing Chumba Casino.
Sign up today and you could win a VIP experience
with Chumba Casino and WWE for SummerSlam.
So what are you waiting for?
Play Chumba Casino
and enter for your chance to win.
Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See T's and C's. 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
Welcome to Radio Rental, the scariest stories you've ever heard in your life, all told by real people. And off we go.
This wasn't a human being that I saw. There's something here in this house, something not of this world.
There was a woman moving through the hall. I stepped back and I was completely alone.
Radio Rental is available now. Listen for free on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
It's the Bart Winkler Show podcast.
Even in a compliment, I'm angry. Carlos, if you could do me a favor, And when I die, could you send me all, could you, not me, I'll be dead. Could you send my wife the nice clips of people have said about me to play at my, I don't want to call it a funeral, but a celebration of life?
You assume I'm going to be alive when you're dead. Like I'm not going to be out right before you. That'll be my luck.
Are we going to die like in a week between each other, like lovers do, like old lovers do?
Absolutely not. Don't ever make that association whatsoever. It could be a the day the sports died, you know, like the day that music died. We get wiped out. Well, those shows are good. Who do I want to die with me?
Whoa. Let's stop.
Or we can name names.
I was driving my kid to swimming the other day.
What a transition.
Well, it's on topic. Because he's been talking that he wants to be a Boston Celtic when he grows up. And I don't have the heart to tell him, like, how the world works and how that's not ever going to happen for you. And then we were playing. What he likes to do is he likes to play. He likes me to play wrestlers' theme songs on Spotify on the way to swimming. Okay? He's really into wrestling, as I've told you. Today, we fought for a little bit on the couch, and then I was done, so he was continuing to fake fight. And the look my wife gave me when he took one of his little tiny kid chairs and smashed it on the couch as he was beating somebody up. Oh. Did you see John Moxley the other night?
I did not. What happened to him?
They put you know when they have those bats that are like spikes all over the bat?
Oh, what, like the barbed wire bat or the tack bat?
They like really put it in his back last night. Because
he likes that stuff. He really
needs to be done wrestling.
He wants to be the modern day Mick Foley so badly.
It's too much. Anyway.
But he's doing it in like in front of a crowd of like 5,000. Like, who cares?
Well, and thousands watching at home.
Yeah, I guess.
Shout out to my buddy Paul. Anyway, my kid goes, actually, Daddy, I want to be a wrestler now. And I go, okay. I go, can I be in your tag team? And he like scoffed. He goes, you're going to die before me, Daddy.
He's not wrong.
I hope not. Jesus Christ. But man, I mean, the kid's thinking future forward. Can't be a tag team with my boy.
I like it.
My only dream. 888-710-4ISN, 888-710-4476. Joe is in Los Angeles. Joe.
Yes, sir.
Hey.
How you doing?
I like your phone reception. We need more, whatever phone you have, let everybody else get a piece of it. Sounds good.
It's a very special headset, and it really it does its job. But I'm listening. I'm driving into Vegas for the tomorrow's games. I'm listening. I'm a lifelong Steelers fan, and what most people don't understand is the Steelers only had three coaches in 56 years. Noel won four Super Bowls. He was there 22 years. Cowher won one Super Bowl. He was there for 15 years. And Tomlin won one Super Bowl, and he's been there nearly 20 years. Now, most people and the fans of Pittsburgh got spoiled from Chuck Noll. Cowher lost four AFC championship games. Three of those were at home. Tomlin has yet to really do anything outside of not having a losing record.
Yeah.
And his coaching has sort of passed him by. Now, one of the things they extended on the Steelers this year, they extended him 2 years. And one of the reasons why I personally believe that Tomlin still has the job in Pittsburgh is because of the Rooney Rule. And the Rooney Rule was to interview more African-Americans in coaches and general managers.
So that's keeping him employed?
I think it's pretty close, because I think that the fans in Pittsburgh are pretty irate with Tomlin. He hasn't really done anything, and just getting to the playoffs, like you said, is not enough. I mean, they haven't.
I mean,
won
the
a
Rooney
playoff.
The Rooney Rule in Pittsburgh right now is they're just too stubborn to fire anybody. That could be it.
Well, the Rooneys just don't fire coaches, and like I mentioned, three coaches. There isn't a franchise in professional football, or 10 franchises out of three coaches in the last 50-some years. But I want to talk a little bit about the NCAA today. I thought there were five teams that played sensational, and I'll give them to you if I may. Gonzaga played really well. Gonzaga probably, they were late. They led 30-3 early in that game. UCLA played the perfect game against Utah State. Mick Cronin did a great job in controlling the fast tempo of Utah State, and they were never a factor. Creighton just took care of Louisville like Louisville wasn't even there. UC San Diego took Michigan down to the wire. They played a very good game. I thought Houston was very, very good today. They're at St. John's, very, very good. But McNeese State is not a sleeper in my eyes. McNeese State was a very, very athletic team out of the Southland Conference. And what they did to Clemson, they jumped on them really strong early and then held on late. But I thought the quality of basketball today in college basketball, there were some teams that really showed up that really very few people are talking about, and that is BYU.
What are you going to say?
BYU played outstanding today, and they are...
I'm waiting for you to get to my Wisconsin Badgers, Joe.
They're next. Wisconsin.
All right.
Wisconsin Badgers, they just play... They're scrappy. They play a great motion offense. And let me tell you something. They took care of the Big Ten. They finished third or fourth in the Big Ten, I do believe. They were runner-up in the championship game, or did they win the Pac-10 or the Big Ten? I don't remember. But nevertheless, they are a very solid team that will go very, very deep in this tournament along with the other Pac-10 teams. Maryland, Michigan State, but Purdue played very well. But I have to say, Wisconsin, they got a great, great offensive scheme going on, and they are a very good basketball team.
Well, a good breakdown, Joe. Certainly better than anything I gave the people tonight. I appreciate that. I just cried because I took Clemson to the Final Four like a little baby. But I did, and I was upset about it, but that was good. See, that's why I keep saying the phone numbers, so we can give people like Joe an opportunity to spread their wings on the national format.
And reception. Clear. And I like that one.
I like how many people we've been catching the last few nights driving on their way to like a party or like an all-day golf thing or an all-day Vegas thing. I like that. I like that audience that we reach a little bit. That BYU-Wisconsin game should be interesting. The group of four there, that little bracket, it was Virginia Commonwealth, BYU, Wisconsin, and Montana. During the game, they played nothing but Garth Brooks. I'm trying to say it was very... I couldn't think of a better joke, but I think you get where I'm going. 888-710-4ISN, 888-710-4476. Here's an update with Marco Belletti. It is the Bart Winkler Show. I am Bart Winkler. Carlos Ortiz alongside Marco Belletti's been on your updates tonight. 15 minutes from now, we will hand things over to Sean Levine for the next 4 hours of your Infinity Sports Network entertainment. A lot of discussion has been about March Madness, as it should be. Did we get enough today? Did we get enough upsets? Were you satisfied with the college basketball you saw today, Carlos? The big... Because if there's anyone to ask, it's me and Carlos. I mean, we've been talking, previewing this tournament since November. Right?
Yes, absolutely.
I mean, I told you, was it right after Christmas? I said, watch out for McNeese State and that Will Wade.
Yeah, I just wish I could have clipped it and sent that out for proof.
Fiddlesticks.
It just gets lost in the archives. I'm going to let you in on a little secret, Bart.
Uh-oh.
I think the round of 64 is the most overrated 2 days in sports. I don't want to just throw it a grenade with like 7.5 minutes left to go in a show, but it's really overrated because we get the euphoria of, oh my God, this upset. Look at what McNeese just did to number 5 Clemson.
And then next week we have to realize, oh, McNeese is probably going to get stomped out. Because not every little cute story team can be George Mason and make it to the Final Four.
Florida Gulf Coast, San Diego State.
Cute.
Butler.
Cute. Well, does Butler fit the mold anymore? Like, no, that's a basketball program.
Well, back in the Golden Hayward days, they weren't.
Sure, I get that. You can change the narrative, but like, I'm much more interested in like the Sweet 16, the Elite Eight, because that's when I know I'm going to get some quality ass basketball. The 64, it's very fluky, and this one was more chalk. We'll see what happens tomorrow, but like, the euphoria, the high, the shock, the excitement. That's cool, but it wanes very quickly. Well, like, I don't think I'm going to turn on, you know, Sean's show in like 10 minutes. I don't know if he's going to lead with McNeese like everybody else did. I don't know if that's going to have sticking power.
7 hours later?
I don't think so.
Here's what I think you're saying. Without burying the greatest 2 days in sports, Carlos. I think we want upsets on these days. Like, the day itself would have been infinitely better if Omaha beat St. John's. Like, today would have been awesome. If that happened, that would have been awesome. If Michigan would have lost to UC San Diego. What was the other game late tonight? If Texas Tech would have fallen to UNC Wilmington. But then, come Saturday, we would have number 11 Drake against number 14 UNC Wilmington. We wouldn't have John Calipari at Arkansas against Rick Pitino at St. John's. We'd have 10 Arkansas against 15 Omaha. So I get what you're saying is that the upset euphoria is short-lived, yes?
Yeah, that's exactly what I'm saying, because I think we would much rather have John Calipari and Rick Pitino. Because
so basically,
if you get a bunch of upsets in the round of 64, you're in for a snooze fest. Presumably, on paper, you're getting a lot of snooze fests in the 32. I can offer you great basketball a little bit deeper into the tournament, or I can give you a rush of, oh my God, in the 64, and then you might not get a quality product later on. It's kind of pick which ones you want. I'd rather have the more competitive basketball a little bit later. Give me the crap appetizer first and before I get the better dinner. I don't want to have my dessert first. You know what I'm saying?
So I think this is incredible. We are fooling ourselves. Because here we are all the time in baseball, poo-pooing the small markets, wanting Dodgers Yankees. Here we are in basketball. We're gonna cry so many tears when it is Thunder Cavs, because we want Boston and Los Angeles. And in college basketball, everyone says, no, that's where it's different. We love the upsets. We want the upsets. But that's just a cover, because what we want is we want to see Duke, Alabama in the Elite Eight. We want to see Houston versus Tennessee. We want to see Florida, St. John's. We want to see Michigan State, Auburn. That's what we want to see. We want to see the best of the best and the name brands go up against each other. What if your Final Four was Lipscomb versus Yale? We'd be mad. Hey, Grand Canyon versus Drake in the Elite Eight. Gross. So, I think you just exposed the game, man. Everybody in college basketball, we all pretend like we love the mid-majors and we love the upsets, but the further you go, we're just the same jersey-chasing, large-market swashbucklers we always been.
Yeah, 1,000%. Because what's the complaint for a lot of like NBA fans or like basketball fans in general? Like, we don't know these players. Who can break down the roster of Drake and McNeese right now? I'm talking about every person on that roster. Unless you go
probably
to school
seven
there.
Seven people. Seven total college basketball people.
Right.
I think.
So there's we don't know enough about these small market. Wow, listen to me. These mid majors. We don't know enough about these players to get excited about them. You might know the school, but you don't know it enough to be like, oh wow, I really think Drake can go on a long run here because they have so and so. No, we know Cooper Flagg. We know Walter Clayton Jr. in Florida. We know a select number of people that you can really get excited and get behind. You know Cooper Flagg.
The other guy.
You know Johnny Broomey. Although I said Broomey, it's Broom.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah, Auburn.
I know.
We know these big guys.
I know. I know that now.
I don't know anybody at Wichita State. I'm just throwing a school out there. You know what I'm saying? Like, they're not big enough. The sport is not big enough that has a lot of stars, a lot of characters for me to get behind that I want to see these guys in the second weekend. The upset, yeah, again, it's shocking. It's cool because you're like, wow, on paper, that was supposed to be a landslide and they wound up squeaking it out. That's a nice story. There's no sticking power to it. I think if Clemson going out is worse for college basketball in the long run of things in the tournament, it's great for a day. It sucks for the entire tournament.
And the more that we get into this, you know, transfers all over the place. This year was the highest amount of transfers there's ever been in March Madness. Last year, there were 213 of the kids were transfers. This year, it's 297. 2 years before that, it was 140, 150, 94. The first year over 100 wasn't until 2022. Now we're up to 297. Not only you have that, you have a lot of the one and dones. You don't have a lot of guys stick it out for a long time at these respective schools. So college basketball also has become a sport that most fans really only pay attention to for 3 to 4 weeks. And the more that pool dwindles in terms of who's watching, and the less familiar these teams become, the more we're going to gravitate towards the bigger brands, the brands from yesteryear, the brands that we remember when we watched college basketball when it was different. And with that, I look forward to the games tomorrow. Thanks to Carlos Ortiz and Marco Belletti. Sean Levine coming up next. My kid's on a spring break, so the family's going to hang out for a little bit. I will be back on Tuesday. But you'll be in good hands until then. Jody Mack tomorrow, I believe. This is the Infinity Sports Network and another edition of the Bart Winkler Show.
Thank you for listening to the Bart Winkler Show. Listen live Monday through Friday nights, 10 p.m. Eastern, 7 Pacific.
Yo, it's Jey Uso from WWE.
And I'm Jimmy Uso.
Chumba Casino and WWE are hyped for the biggest event of the summer.
SummerSlam.
I know, I can't wait.
There's nothing better to do while we're waiting
than playing Chumba Casino.
Sign up today and you could win a VIP experience
with Chumba Casino and WWE for SummerSlam.
So what are you waiting for?
Play Chumba Casino
and enter for your chance to win.
Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See T's and C's. 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
How We Made Your Mother is a rewatch podcast that looks back episode by episode at the hit TV show How I Met Your Mother. It's hosted by me, Josh Radnor, along with series co-creator Craig Thomas.
In seasons 1 and 2, we were joined by Neil Patrick Harris, Kobe Smulders, Bryan Cranston, Ashley Williams, Wayne Brady, Jenna Fisher and Angela Kinsey, Joe Manganiello, and my brilliant co-creator Carter Bays. And now we are diving into season 3.
So whether it's your 50th rewatch or your first time through, follow How We Made Your Mother wherever you get your podcasts.